Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Yevamos Lamed Vav, we are holding 8 lines from the top. In yesterday's Daf, we learned as follows. If a fellow passes away, leaving behind a potential Yevam, it turns out she is Mu'uberes, and gives birth to a viable, healthy child, of course, she's not considered a Yevam. In this case, Yevam is unneeded. This fellow has a child. However, if it turns out that she's expecting, but that child was miscarried, it was an unsuccessful pregnancy, we call it Vlad Einei Shel Kayama. He was not a viable child. He was not a healthy child. In this case, where the child passed away, it is considered as though the fellow had no children and Yibum is in place. So either she miscarried or the child died right after childbirth. We're going to see later on in the Gemara. So if it's not a viable baby, she had no children, Yibum is required. Now, let's say Chalitza or Yibum was applied when she was Mu'uberes. At that point, we had no idea. We could not foresee the future. We can't determine whether the Vlad is Kayama or Ein Vlad Kayama. But he did Chalitza. He did Yibum. He took the chance. It turns out that he was lucky. Yibum was necessary because the Vlad was not born properly. It was a non-viable child. She miscarried. What happens now? Rabbi Yechonah says, it's a perfect chalitza, a perfect Yibum. It turns out that he was right on. And we could apply this chalitza retroactively. Rav Shlakish says, no. At that early point, we had no idea what's going to happen. We could not forecast the future, in which case, if you're not certain that she needs Yibum or Chalitza, you can't apply it and it doesn't work. Not only that, Rava tells us, even if it turns out that the Vlad is Shel Kayama, it is a healthy, viable child, it's only going to exempt the wife, the mother, the potential Yevama from Yibum when he is born. So even a healthy child, as yet unborn, does not exempt parents, the mother from Yibum. So basically we learned, based on this halacha, we learned that they have to be careful not to marry out until the baby is actually born. Says the Gemara, we have a riot to Rav, to this concept that a Vlad only works, only has an impact, only affects the situation when he is born. Tanika vasei de Rav. Here's a brisa in support of Rav. Hakoi nesivimte. Vinimtis mu'uberes. He does yivim to the yivama. Turns out she's expecting. Harezuloi tinasi tzarosa. The contemporary, the other wife, the companion wife, should not marry out. So what happened was Reuben passed away, leaving behind Rachel and Leah. Shimon did Yibum to Rachel, for it turned out to be, they discovered she was expecting. Leah cannot marry out. She has to wait. Why? Shema Yehev Lad Ben Kayama. Perhaps the baby will be healthy. Ve'ein bi'a v'chalitza poteres, ela v'lad poter, which case, bi'a v'chalitza is worthless, unnecessary. She's not a yevama. She gave birth to a healthy child. If that's the case, why can't the tzara just marry out? V'avlad ein poter atzer yetze lavir oilam. An unborn child is not reckoned with. We only consider him a Vlad if he's born. At that point, both women are free to marry anybody. But until that point, they have to wait. So that's the Bryce, which is a right to Rava's concept. A Vlad is only Peter when he's born. Continues the Gemara. Let's have a Kasha now. Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish holds that even when it turns out that the Vlad is not Kayama, but you did Chalitz and Yibam at an early stage, during the Yemei HaIbur when she was pregnant, it doesn't work. We're going to have a kasha on that from this price. Why? Time or Deshem or Yehei Vlad ben Kayama. Who? The concern is only because perhaps the child will be healthy. In which case, she's not a Yivam. But you have to wait until he's born to have that effect. But if it turns out that he was an unhealthy baby, a non-viable offspring, in that case, Mifta Tzeras, of course, would be okay because inasmuch as she has no children, she needs Chalitza, and the Chalitza or Yibum done to her, even in that state of Ibor, is effective and will exempt the Tzara. It's clear from the Brisa. The reason why we don't allow the Tzara to remarry at this point, wait until the child is born, because an unborn viable child can't have an effect, can't be put until he's born. Mashma, implied from this, that an unborn, non-viable child doesn't create an issue, because it's going to turn out that she needs Yibum or Chalitza, and therefore the Yibum or Chalitza done even in a state of Ibur works. This seems to be a kasha and Rish Lakish who tells us otherwise, that even if it turns out that the child was not Kayama and she needs Yibum or Chalitza, you can't do it in a Ibur state. Amalach Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish responds as follows. Hachik Tani, learn the Brisa differently. Hakoy nesivim tovinim tzismu beres. He did Yibum too, Rachel, and discovers that she's expecting. Harezu loy tenasi tzarasa, Leah shouldn't go marry a stranger. Shema loy, he has the word loy. Shema loy yehavla ben kayama. Perhaps the child would not be ben kayama. It's going to turn out that the child was miscarried. She is a Yibum and has Yibum and Chalitza requirements, and the Chalitza smu beres lo yishma Chalitza. Ubiya smu beres lo yishma biya. You can't apply Chalitza ubiya in a state of muberes. That's the first part of the Brisa. Perfectly in line with Rish Lakish. The Brisa concludes, what do you mean? Why would you have to suspect that she's going to miscarry? Which creates this whole issue. In time, perhaps you'll say, Halech, Achar Reiv Noshim, follow the majority. V'Reiv Noshim V'ad V'lad Ma'al Yildan. Typically, a woman carries healthily. She has a successful Leida. And therefore, when you do Bia to the one of the Yivamis, to Rachel, and it turns out she's expecting, why can't you just allow Leah to marry a stranger? With an assumption, with a chazaka, with a rave, that Rachel will give birth to a healthy child, in which case there's no Yibum at all needed. The terrorist to that is, Vladin Poiter Ashayete Levir Oilam. You can only reckon with this child. You only give him Chashivas. He only changes the equation when he is born. She has to wait until that point. Omer Belazar, Efshar Issa Lahai the Rish Lakish. Can it be that the Halacha follows Rish Lakish, who says that Chalitza or Yibam applied to a Beres is worthless? If that's so, why can't we find it? We should find it in a Mishnah, Leitnan lo b'masnisin, and it's not to be found in a Mishnah. In fact, Nofak, he went out, Dok v'ashkach, he investigated, and he found a Mishnah, which reflects this Shita, this Nan. Ha'isha sh'aloch ba'la v'tzaras al m'dines ha'yam. So this fellow was married to Rachel and to Leah. Rachel remained behind, while Reuven, her husband, left town with Leah. After a while, she hears that he passed away. She assumes, without any children. Look, she had no children from him. But does she have to suspect? Does she have to be choshesh that the other wife, Leah, perhaps, had a child from him? She has no idea what happened out there in Medina Sayam, in the distant cities. So what's her status? A yivama or non-yivama? Ubov amr lameis balach. She was informed about her husband's death. Harezu loitinose loitis yamim. She's in limbo. She can't marry out. Never. We can't even do chalitza. Nothing. Loitis yamim, nor can she do yibum with her husband's brother. Achateda, until she discovers, she finds out what the story is. Why? What's the chashash? Shemu mu beres hitzarosa. Perhaps Leah is expecting. Right? In which case, no yibum is needed. Says the Gemara, okay, I understand why she can't do yibum. Bishlemi yibumi loy. I understand what's wrong with yibum. Shema yehiv lad ben kayem. Perhaps the companion, the contemporary wife Leah, is expecting with a child, carrying a child who will be born healthily, Avlad Kayama, in which case no yibum is in play, is needed here. And if she marries a brother-in-law, she's doing an isser. She's not an active yivama. So I understand what's wrong with that. And you never know what's going on out there. Maybe there's a child being born there, or was born, will be born. But what's wrong with chalitza? What's the worst case scenario? Eloi tachlitza, my, why can't you do chalitza and be free to walk and to marry out? If you say that chalitza works in all cases, whether she's expecting, whether Rachel is expecting, Leah is expecting, it can work in any case. So why can't she just do chalitza and walk and marry out? I understand why not yibum. Don't take a chance with marrying a brother-in-law. But chalitza? Do chalitza and go marry out. Amai, what's wrong? Bishleima tachlitz b'seich tes. V'tinase b'teich tes loy. I understand why she can't go for chalitza within the first 9 months of her husband leaving town and go marry right away within the same period. Of course not. Hainu safek, you're running into a big safek. Perhaps the other wife, Leah, was not around, who's not being observed. Perhaps she's about to give birth to a Vlad ben Kayama. And for that, you have to wait until the child's actually born, as we explained earlier. Elo tachlis b'teich tisha, v'tinase lacha tisha. What's wrong with the following? Her husband left town with Leah. Situation unknown. Okay. We're not sure whether the husband died with kids or without kids. Go for chalitza right away. And go marry after 9 months. Right? So if she's a yavama, she had chalitza. If she's not really a yavama because there's another child born out there, okay, it's already after 9 months. Child was born. And it's Peter, the women from Yibum. Right? This would seem to be a raya to Rish Lakish. V'chayshish that the other woman, Leah, is mu'beres. So even if she miscarries, we're following Rish Lakish. A family that has a Yevama Mu'beres has to wait. So that's right, Rish Lakish. Well, Tameh says the more, but according to you, I don't understand how that solves the problem, how that explains the halacha. Tachlitza tenos lachar tes. Okay, you can't do chalitza immediately. Maybe there's somebody expecting, but after 9 months. There's no chance of Mu'beres. Right? Your husband died today. Wait 9 months. You know, there's no more issue with Mu'beres, and do chalitza then. Why is she stuck? Oh, ela bar minodahi. Rather, leave behind, put aside that braisa. You can't bring a raya from that braisa. There's a whole different reason, a whole different issue that forms the basis of that halacha. The Abaye bar Abba, v'Rav Chinna bar Abaye, the Amit Abaye, they both explained. You know what's wrong? We're doing chalitza. Nothing to do with Rish Lakish. Can't bring a riot to Rish Lakish, who says you can't do chalitza when somebody's mu'beres. That's not the issue there. Perhaps you can. Theoretically, you can do chalitza in that state. the concern is as follows. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how things will develop. Perhaps she'll go for chalitza. Later on, you'll discover that there was a viable baby in the family. Leah gave birth. And after he was born, it turns out that nobody needs chalitza. And the chalitza done to the woman here, to Rachel, was unnecessary and ineffective. And she can go marry a kayan. Shema Yehav Vlad Ben Kayama, says the Gemara. Could turn out that the Vlad is a Ben Kayama, and no chalitza is needed. V'nimtza atamach riza kruz l'kuhuna. And in order to allow Rachel to marry a kohen, we'll have to make a new announcement. Rabbi Issa, you should just know that chalitza that was done with great fanfare was superfluous, unneeded, and ineffective. V'litzrucha, okay. So go make that announcement. Do chalitza ala safik. Turns out that it wasn't needed. You'll publicize that fact. Answers the Gemara, it's not really a proper solution. Dilma ike inish dehavi b'chalitza. Concerned that perhaps somebody was present at the chalitza. Big news in town, a chalitza. Everybody came. But he wasn't present when they made that announcement. So he'll know about the chalitza, but not about the reversal. Then he sees, look, she's marrying a kohen. A chalitza marries a kohen. He will conclude that they will matter a chalitza l'kohen. So in this case, specifically, and only in this case, where it can turn out that the whole thing was unnecessary, we don't allow it. But that's not to say that it actually happened. The chalitza was applied, and it turns out that the child was not ben kayyam and she needed chalitza. Perhaps in that case it would work. Amali Abaye. I have another kasha. You see, Rabbi Lezer said, I have a riot to Rish Lakish from this Mishnah. A Mishnah where it seems that she shouldn't be doing chalitza or yibum in a state of a possible imuberes situation. That's right to Rish Lakish. Amalei Abaye. Abaye responds to him. Take a close look at the wording of the Mishnah. Midi loy tachlitz? V'loy tisyavim ketani? Does the Mishnah then say she can't do chalitza or yibum? It doesn't say that. Loy tinase? V'loy tisyavim ketani? Don't marry out. Don't do yibum. But loy chalitza, without chalitza, aval yicholitzla. Hachinami, the Sharia, who's to say that if he did chalitza to her in this state, it wouldn't work. Of course it would. So this doesn't really supply a right to Rish Lakish. But Tanyak, Vasid Rish Lakish, we do have a right to Rish Lakish from the following brice. Hacheles to Muberes. One does chalitza to Muberes, vihi pila, and then she miscarries? You can't say, well, it turns out that retroactively, the chalitza was valid. No, tzricha chalitza menachin. This chalitza is not considered a proper chalitza, in which case she has to make a rounds amongst all the brothers to repeat the chalitza as we explained yesterday. Amarava, in fact, hilchasa, kavasei de Rish Lakish, manitlas. In the following three halachas, we follow Rish Lakish as shita, chada hadamar. And the first one is chalitza lumoberes, as we just explained. Idach, what's the second one? Unrelated halachas. It's not hamachalik and chasav al piv. So this fellow sat down to distribute his assets. Instead of allowing Yerusha to take hold, he decided to distribute his nechassim before his death. Riba le'echad, umeyat le'echad. This son he gave so much, and the other son he gave less. V'hishva lehem es abchor. Or he took the bchor, and he gave him equal share with everybody else, instead of giving him a double portion. Dvar of Kayamin, his words take effect. He was just giving away his nechassim. He was gifting his properties, not in a Yerusha, an inheritance type of context. He was just giving it away. So therefore we have to listen and follow his instructions. V'im amar amisham Yerusha, but if he related it to Yedinei Yerusha, he says, look, well, this fellow is going to be Yerush this field, that fellow that field. Loy amar klum, has no validity because, as Rashi says, we know you can't make a tenai, can't go against the Torah. Mas na al mashal kasa b'Torah, tenai bottle, has no validity. But let's say he employed a sort of a combined terminology. He mentioned Yerusha, but also mentioned Matana. Says the Mishnah, Kosav Bein Betchila, Bein Besoif, Bein Beemtza Mishum Matana, Dvarav Kayamin. If he inserted a Matana term into his instructions, whether it was at the beginning, at the middle, or the end, beginning would be as follows, Rashi says, Rashi on the bottom line. But Chilo, he says, Tinos and Soda Plainus, Lplainus, Virushen. And gift this field, give it over to this fellow, and he will inherit it. So he starts with Matana, ends with Yerusha. Continues Rashi, Be'emtza, what's an example of inserting it at the midpoint? Yerusha, Betinosinlai, Virusha. Besaif is Yerusha, Betinosinlai. So in any case, Dvar of Kayamin, we follow his instructions. Because although he also alluded to Yerusha, the fact is, he mentioned Matana as well. Vamar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish comes and adds one more element to this halacha. Let's say you have two recipients, okay? And then you say, Yirash Pleni Soda Pleni. Okay, so Reuven will inherit this field. V'tinosin Soda Pleni Upleni. Right? And the other Soda will be given Lepleni to the other fellow. So it's sort of one instruct, but two different people. By this fellow, he used Lashon Yerusha, and for this fellow, Matana. Do we consider the instruction to be valid? Because he mentioned Matana, do you say no? It's two different people. They don't relate to each other. Rish Lakish is Machmer. He says, Lo'elam Lekana. It doesn't work. Asher Yomer Pleni Upleni Yerusha Sada Pleni Uplenis. He has to sort of tie together both recipients. They can have it, Virusha, and add the word Matana Shanasatim Lehem, alluding to both recipients. And then it's applied to both people. And there they go. They have the Lashon Matana, which activates his instructions. So Rish Lakish is Machmer, otherwise it doesn't work. We follow Rish Lakish's Shit. Vidach was the third Rish Lakish that we follow. It's not a case of calling a chasel of my lachar mois. So his father sat down, and the father wrote a shtar, giving away all his buildings to his son, la'achar mois, after his passing. Rashi says, he wrote as follows, Mehayoyim la'achar mois. It's going to happen from today till achar mois. So basically what he's saying is, look, I, the father, still want to hold on to these properties. I want to enjoy the fruits. I want to have the payrays. I plan on allowing you, my son, to have it after my death, after my passing. So it's like the principle, the keren belongs to you, the guf belongs to you, the field belongs to you, but the peir is to me as long as I'm still alive. And therefore, ha'av enu yachal limkar b'nei shein nosan on the ben. Father has no authority to sell the property. He already gave it away to the son. On the other hand, as long as the father is alive, he has possession of it. Ben nor can the son sell that property while his father is alive. It's still in his father's possession. What happens if Mochar Av, father proceeded and sold? So it's considered a valid sale until he dies. Mochar Av Ben. Conversely, if the son sells, it's not worth much. The buyer. Can only take possession after father passes away. Okay, so that's a mission, the Itmar. And we have an addition to this mission. What happens if Mochar HaBen B'chayi Av, son sold the field during his father's lifetime? Umeis HaBen B'chayi Av, instead of father dying first, son died first. He never actually took possession of that field. So what happens now? If he sold it and then took possession, that works, because although at the time of sale he was not deemed owner, but when father passes away and the property transfers to son, it is considered a proper sale retroactively, because after all he did take possession of the property. But in this case, where son sold and never actually got it because he passed away first, we have a machlekes. What's the point of the machlekes? It revolves around the question as follows. Do we consider the son to have had some sort of balu, some sort of possession of that property, even during his father's lifetime? Therefore, it makes sense that he can sell it on condition. He can sell it now with the intention of really transferring it after father's death. And therefore, even if he happened not to be around at that point, he passed away before father, that sale is a pending sale. And as soon as father passes away, it transfers to the buyer of the son. Or do we say no? Son didn't have much yet. Father was enjoying the payers. It was in his possession. And since son never actually took possession of that field, he passed away first. His sale is null and void. So again, we're speaking where Machar haben b'chaye ha'av, umeis haben b'chaye ha'av, son sold during father's lifetime, and son passed away first. Rabbi Yechon Amar lo yikonu lekeach. Buyer gets nothing. Rish Lakish Amar konu lekeach. Eventually, when father passes away, buyer gets the field. Why? Rabbi Yechon Amar lo yikonu lekeach. He doesn't get it. Kinyan payers. Because father's kinyan payers, ki kinyan aguf dami, is treated like he has a kinyan in the actual guf, the actual property itself. Meaning the fact that he had the rights to pick those fruit is considered as though he's in possession of the field. Son doesn't have much to give away at this point. And when he sells it, but he never actually takes possession, that sale is null and void. No, buyer gets it. Kinyan Paris, lav ki kinyan aguf dami. Although father had Paris, that's not considered absolute ownership. It's just some residual ownership. He gets rights to eat the fruit, but the goof of the field belongs to the son. After all, it was promised him. He was going to get it after father passes away. And therefore, when he sells it, son turns around and sells it, it's considered a proper sale. So that when father passes away, that seller, that buyer gets it, despite the fact that son never experienced that moment. He was never around that moment, but he already sold it, and that sale has validity. In any case, this is the third item on Rava's list, where the halacha follows Rish Lakish. Kinyan Peres, lav ke kinyan aguf dami. Continues the Mishnah, ein avlad shel kayam. So in the safe of the Mishnah, we have a fellow who did Yibam, should not have done at that point, because she was still too close. They hadn't yet waited that 3 month waiting period. He did Yibam, and they discover she's expecting. Okay, so now he certainly has to separate to see what happens here. If it turns out the Vlad is not Kayam, in which case, technically, the fellow passed away without children. She's a Yavam. Mishnah says, Yikayim. So you can stay married to her. Reb Lezer disagrees. Tana b'shem Reb Lezer. Amru. In the Brisa, we have a quote from Reb Lezer. This fellow did something inappropriate. He took his chances, being miyabim, miyavama, so close to her husband's death, yoytzi beget, he has to separate with a get. Even if it turns out that she's a real yavama, there's no child, no viable child, still, yoytzi beget, amarava. I found a sequel. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lezer, amar davar echad. Just as Rabbi Lezer tells us that, in this case, we apply a knas, we penalize him, because he took his chances with a suffix iser. We penalize him, and he has to separate with a get. Likewise, we find Reb Meir also adopts this type of stringent view. When the Chachamim don't allow you to do something, you go and you marry anyways, you have to separate forever. Reb Lezer Adamar, number one, Reb Lezer, as we just said, Reb Meir, the Sanya. When is Adam Uberes Chaveri, Umenekes Chaveri. One is not allowed to remarry a woman who's expecting from her former husband, or she's nursing a child from her former husband. The Gemara later explains, because we're concerned that she might become expecting again, and then it's going to interfere. V'im nasa, let's say he did not heed our warning, and when he married in the state. According to Rav Meir, we apply a knas, separate forever. Sure. In the meantime, while she's still engaged in caring for this child, he has to separate, but only temporarily. When time comes, after 24 months, he can go ahead and remarry. Clearly, Rav Meir takes a very stringent approach to these halachas. When one defies Chachamim's instructions and marries anyway, he has to separate forever. This is like Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah. Humli Abaye, Mimai, how do you compare the two things? Dil Malay, perhaps the two things are not comparable. Ad kan lekomer Lazar Hacha, perhaps it's only over here that Rabbi Lazar adopts this Chumra view. You have to separate because you did a terrible Isser. Ela Mishum de Kapogab Isser Eshesachta Eraisa, you got involved in a Safik Eshesach Min HaTorah. Of course, this knas is in place. Aval hasam derabbanon. Perhaps over there by Uberes Chaveri, Menechas Chaveri, it's only derabbanon. Kerabbanon Svirle. Maybe he follows the Rabbanon. It does not adopt Rameir's Chumra. Inami, alternatively. Adkan lakam Rameir hasam. Perhaps over there Rameir says, we apply a knas, Elam Shum derabbanon, because it's innocent derabbanon. At times, we're more machron by derabbanon. V'chachamim also, chizuk ledevrayim, at times, the Chacham had to implement a greater deterrence in order to protect Isur Rabbanon, which people, unfortunately, tend to be lax in. And they employ stringencies that are not even found in Divrei Torah. And therefore, they say, look, you married Muberes Chaveri, separate forever. Avalacha. But in our case, by the Yavama, Midaraisa, Mifresh Parshmina, it's a suffix that arises that people will generally keep away. There's no need to reinforce the halach to this extent. So perhaps the two things are unrelated. Amar Rava, here comes a chiddush. Ula divrei chachamim, yitzia beget. Although chacham allow you to take her back after a while, but when you separate, it needs to be absolute separation. For real, with a get. Amar mazutra, de kanami. The wording in the Mishnah indicates as such, diktani yitzi. Brisa says, even according to Chacham, Yoitzi, V'loiktoni Yafer, doesn't say separate. Yoitzi means Shema Mino, it's a rai that we're speaking seriously, legally, with a get. What happens if this fellow happens to be a Kayin? Now you're running into trouble. Once he issues a get, he can't remarry. Do we give him a break or not? Does he need a get, even in that case? Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Hoshi, Brei D'Rav Iti. Here comes the Shiloh. And the Shaila is presented with an introduction. Hasam Tnan. We have a mission over there which says, Rab Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Sheshah B'Adam Lamed Yoyim, Einoy Nefel. A newborn who lived for 30 days. That proves that he's a viable, healthy child. For instance, if this baby is a baby from a Yivama, so to speak, so she's not a Yivama. Because this child is healthy and she gave birth to a healthy child. Holy Shah, but otherwise, let's say he was killed. There was some sort of a death that occurred. Right? Tosafot says not a natural death, but he never survived 30 days. Sveika havi, then you're not sure. There's suffix as to whether he was going to be a healthy child, in which case you can reckon with him. He can be Peter, his mother from Yibum, or not. What do you do? V'yitzmar. So it's a suffix, and as Rashi says, you do chalitza, right? V'itmar. And the halacha says like this. Meis v'seich lamed. Yeah. Suppose he died within 30. V'amda v'niskacha. And she went ahead and she married somebody. Without chalitza. Ravina mishmed rava amar im eishes yisrael hi chaletzis. If she's currently married to a Yisrael, where chalitza doesn't really interfere, he can marry a chalitza, so do chalitza. V'meishas kayini, eina chalitzas. But if she proceeded to marry a kayin, right, a kayin headed can marry an amana, don't do chalitza, because if you do chalitza, she can't stay married to a kohen. Leave her alone. And Rashi says, v'samchinen avlad, you hope, you assume, you pray that that vlad was going to be a viable child, in which case she does not need chalitza. So this is who's speaking. This is Ravina, the name of Rava. His version of Rava was that by a kohen we give him a break. Rav Mishar Shemeshmed Rav Amr says, no, there's no difference. Achazu, v'achazu, whether married to a kohen or Yisrael, chay letzis, she gets chalitza. Amal Ravina Rav Mishar Shia, I understand where you're coming from. You heard Rava speak at night. Be'urta Amar Rava Hachi, at night. Indeed, Rava says, chalitza in all cases. But Ubit Safra Hadabe in the morning, after learning a whole night and working through the sugya, he came back and he said, no, by a kohen we allow some leniency. Amal Lehi, Rav Mishashi wasn't pleased. Yehi Rava, should be the will of Hashem. The Tishru Av Tarbi should be Matar Chelav, meaning, what kind of this is such a pasha to Isser. There's no way to allow the kohen this slack. So in any case, we have at least one shita who holds that by a kohen we're lenient. We want to preserve that marriage, and we suspend the chalitza requirement in this suffix situation. Getting back to our sugya, what is adam muberes chaveri? Uminek is chaveri. What happens if he proceeded? Vim nasa, Mishnah says yaitzi. Right? Although you can take her back after a while, but at this point yaitzi, and we said it means with a get. What happens if he's a kayan? What do we do then? After the get, he can't take her back. Hacha, gabe muberes chaveri. Uminek is chaveri. Hanusol a kayan. If she's married to a kayan, my, what do we do now? Mi of rabbanat akantol a kayan. The rabbanat apply a kula to a kayan and suspend the get requirement, or perhaps not. So this is who asking who? Rav Ashi asking Rav Eishia Brei de Ravidi. Amarle, he responded, Hachi Ashta, how could he compare two things? Of course, in our case, there's no room for leniency. Bishlei Mahasam, I understand why in the case of the less than 30-day-old baby, given the Ikar Rabbanon, the Pliga Leder Rav Shimon Gamliel, remember, you have the Shitas Rabbanon, who disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel, the army they hold, even if the baby had not lived 30 days, Vlad Ma'al Yahavi, we treat him like a proper child. So although we tend to follow Rav Shimon Gamliel with Machmer, but when it comes to a kohen, we can follow the Rabbanon. Because they hold even Afagav the Loisha of Vlad Ma'al Yahavi, and therefore Gav Eshes Kohen, given the Loisha, since there's no option of doing the get, Avdin and Rabbanon, we follow the Rabbanon. So we have a shita to rely on at least. But over here by us, there's no shita to rely on. Avalacha Mekiman Navid. Who are you going to follow? If he marries Muberes Chaveri. Separate without a get. Ikar Rav Meir. If it's Rav Meir that you're following, it's even worse. Ha'amar Yoitzi V'Yashay Lamis. He says, separate forever. Ikar Rabban, if you're following the Rabban, Ha'amni Beget. You have to separate with the get. So there's no shita to rely on. So even by a kohen, you have to do a get. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. What about a chalitza obia to muberes when it turns out later that the vlad is not kayama? Can you validate the chalitza retroactively? Rish Lakish says no. We found a brisa that supports Rish Lakish. In fact, that's the halacha lemaisa. The first of three things will be followed Rish Lakish regarding the matana lashon and the instructions there, and kinyan peiros lavki kinyan aguf. So if he's miyabim the isha, turns out she's muberes, and the vlad is not kayam, in which case it turns out she needed that yibam. Mishnah says you can hold on to her. Rav Leza says no. He proceeded irresponsibly. It was a suffolk isser that he was doing, therefore we apply a knas, he has to separate divorce with a get. We have a similar case by muberes, menekes chaveri. You're not meant to be noisei this isha. If he proceeds, he's noisei the isha. Meir says, yoitzi elamis. Rabbanon say, yoitzi. And the Gemara says, yoitzi beget. And after a while, after 24 months, you can take her back. According to the Maskanas HaGemara, yoitzi beget applies to all equally. Much hatzlacha to you, and all the best.